Hello and welcome to a special edition of Tantrum Hour Report for this holiday Monday. As usual, we're broadcasting on CHMA 106.9 FM from Sackville, New Brunswick, the heart of the Maritimes in Mi'kma'ki, the traditional lands of the Mi'kmaq people, unceded in the Treaties of Peace and Friendship first signed with settlers in 1725. I'm Erica Butler. It's Monday, August 2nd, New Brunswick Day. Happy holiday to everyone. Coming up on today's holiday edition, we're taking the opportunity this holiday Monday to revisit some recent conversations with two Sackvillians, one returning and one already here, who are both taking on key jobs in the town's not-for-profit scene. After helping found Open Sky Co-op 20 years ago, Laura Hunter is returning to the organization to take over the director's role from Margaret Tuse King. And after several years away in Toronto, artist Paul Henderson is returning to Sackville this August, having already taken over as director of Strutt's Gallery and Fawcett Media Arts Center. Those conversations are coming up, but first, on Friday, the town of Sackville and Mount Allison University released their updated policies in light of the lifting of New Brunswick's mandatory order. Here's the lowdown on what's changed in town. Waterfowl fans will now be able to walk in any direction along the Waterfowl Park boardwalk and trails and be free to stop and admire the wildlife or views along the way. The one-way directional signage no longer applies. Town buildings and facilities are now open with regular capacities, including Town Hall. While some local businesses will continue to require masks, you can find a list of who's requiring what at chmafm.com, the town will not require masks inside Town Hall or other town facilities, with the exception of the Visitor Information Center. The town says that due to the volume and nature of visitors, including many seniors and families with small children, the VIC will continue to require masks for both staff and guests. Masks will be optional at town council meetings, where an increased number of observers will now be permitted to attend. Up to 20 residents may attend the next council meeting on August 3rd in person. This is part of what the town calls a phased approach to its reopening. To attend in person, registration in advance is required by emailing Clerk Donna Beale, d.beale@sackville.com, by 4 p.m. on August 3rd. The meeting will still be live streamed on YouTube and Microsoft Teams, and those links are available on both CHMA and Town of Sackville websites. Over on the Mount Allison campus, restrictions will loosen but not be eliminated just yet, according to a letter sent Friday to students from University President Jean-Paul Boudreau. Even though the province will lift all restrictions as of July 30th, writes Boudreau, there will be some health and safety guidelines still in place on campus as we start the fall term. Once everyone is settled in on campus, those restrictions will be reassessed at the end of September. Masks will be welcome and encouraged anywhere on campus, he writes, but not required everywhere. Students will have to don face coverings in scheduled in-person classes and at larger in-person events on campus, such as music ensembles, performances, and speakers. Masks are optional for faculty members and speakers in classrooms, but will be required to attend staff and faculty meetings. Physical distancing requirements of 1 meter will remain in place in classrooms on campus, but return to normal everywhere else. The university's update did not specify whether community members are free to return to campus, and CHMA has reached out for clarification. Vaccinations will not be required for returning or new Mount Allison students, but the school is highly encouraging full vaccinations and is making arrangements for a clinic the first week of September for any students who had difficulty accessing vaccinations before that. If you've got questions about what's changed now that the mandatory order in New Brunswick has been lifted, get in touch with CHMA at news@chmafm.com. Laura Hunter is one of the original co-founders of Open Sky Co-op, a nonprofit organization that helps adults with mental health challenges and disabilities transition from high school to adulthood. Now, 20 years later, Open Sky has called her back to take over from longtime former executive director Margaret Tuse King. Hunter spent a few months transitioning into the position and officially started in early July. Meg Cunningham gave her a call to see how the transition was going, what she's all about, and what her dreams are for Open Sky.
Tell me about yourself. What did you do before you did this? Well, I am coming to this position after many years working with the United Church of Canada as the Minister for Justice and Missions. So I was in a position, an administrative position in the regional offices, supporting social justice work around first the Maritimes and then in recent years, Atlantic Canada.
Okay.
I'm a diaconal minister. I always like to mention that it's a ministry within the United Church, well, and other churches too, but in the United Church, it's a recognized ministry that has a particular focus on service and education, and we say pastoral care, but the care of others. So it is all the training for it is rooted in community and rooted in, I would say, being in solidarity with those on the edges or the margins of society.
Okay, got you. And have you been in Sackville long?
I've lived in Sackville now for about 15 years. Am I counting that correctly? 2007, we moved here.
Okay. And where from?
Moved here from Cape Breton.
Okay.
Yeah. But I am I'm a pretty native New Brunswicker. I've lived in New Brunswick for a big part of my life, and certainly would say I grew up here. So it Sackville feels like very much a natural fit for me.
Okay. Why did you decide to go for this job when the position became available?
Oh, that's a good question. You may not know that I was among the four founding members that started Open Sky. I was at the kitchen table when those conversations happened that said, we wish there was a place where young adults could just slow down that transition. You know, different needs require some different experiences to make that transition, particularly from high school to the choices that face a young adult. And so if you're living with challenges or barriers because of mental health or autism spectrum disorder or other learning disabilities or all kinds of things can mean that just a slowed down process of transitioning to making those big decisions and finding pathways and discovering yourself, it would be wonderful if there was a place. And so my partner was very, very adamant that farming was a great way, a great space to learn about that. As I said, we were part of beginning this project, and we actually lived here for 4 years. Now, I had never worked here myself, but had always kind of been volunteering and helping care for the space and interested in the direction that Open Sky would take. So when Margaret was retiring and I was beginning to look for something a little more hands-on for myself, it felt like this place was calling me back in some ways.
Yeah. And I'm curious that you say hands-on, because you said you did administrative work with the United Church, which when I personally think of administrative work, I think a lot of desk work. Is that accurate to say?
It is true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So my role in that position was kind of helping those that were doing the frontline work to make the connections or find the funding or relate to develop policies or whatever they might need in order to do the work that they were passionately engaged in.
Mm-hmm. How's the adjustment period going? That's quite a difference in pace from the sounds of it.
It is a difference in pace. It's going well. It's a fantastic staff here, and the participants are so gracious, and everyone is being extremely patient with with me. Sometimes people will hand me a piece of paper and I find myself staring at it going, I wonder where this goes. I wonder what I'll do with this. But every day is I'm learning more and finding all those right places for things and looking forward, just beginning to have the conversations with people to find out what their passions and their gifts and talents are. And I want to make sure that I guess one of the focuses for me will be to make sure that we are really engaging the gifts and the skills, enhancing or amplifying gifts and skills that people bring. Just recognizing that we all come with the challenges, like we all have challenges. So how do we compensate for those? But how do we really learn to accentuate those things that we are really good at?
Yeah, totally. I know the dust is still settling a bit, but what are you most looking forward to once you have a bit of the groove? You mentioned those conversations. Is there anything else that you're looking forward to?
I am excited about the potential for Open Sky to really, I don't want to say widen so much, maybe deepen the work that we do. I think that the roots are so good and so strong, and the skills that the staff bring are amazing, and I think will serve us well to really, it's hard to articulate, because I think that what we do at Open Sky is a bit intuitive in some ways. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's the way we've operated. Responding to the needs of the individuals that come here, figuring out with some of the backgrounds that the staff bring. They have, lots of the staff have wonderful training in working with folks with different needs and with different mental health, states of mental health. So just kind of understanding how our connection with the land and with the animals and with one another, how are those integrating with one another, from the sort of abstract and the models, the educational models and so on. What is it that being around the flowers and the trees and the bees and the and the donkeys, how does that complement the skills and knowledge that people bring about helping develop life skills and helping to give people a sense of belonging.
Mm-hmm. A lot of Open Skies programming has to do with what you're saying, with like the trees and the bees and the plants and the outdoorsness of it all. It's situated on a farm. Do you have any sort of special relationship with farming and or outdoors type activities or work?
I would say yes, mostly as a bystander and cheerleader. But as I said, my partner is a passionate gardener and farmer, and so we have had we've been involved in other organic farm projects in the past, and including our own, and so. I'm not the instigator of it, but I am the great appreciator and, and encourager and sometimes facilitator of it. Yeah. So, yeah, but my background is in environmental studies, and from way back when environmental studies was still a new thing at universities. Mm-hmm. And so I very much have connection with the land, and understand that as a source of health and well-being for all people.
Yeah, absolutely. Those were all of the questions I had for you. Do you think there's anything important for listeners to know about you or about how Open Sky is doing right now that I haven't asked you about?
I think that just to assure folks that Open Sky is growing, it still is a place that seems to inspire hope and possibility for people. We have wonderful stories of folks that have been through the Be Your Own Boss program that was started by the previous executive director, and there's been a great response from the individuals who've participated in that to stretch their imaginations about what's possible for them in their lives, and even if it's just for supplementing an income, you know, taking on a project and stepping into the management of it. So we're looking at how we enhance that, how it grows, how that can be shared with others, and yeah, numerous other projects we're looking at. We're looking at a big barn sort of renovation. What do you call it when you're just kind of helping an old barn get restoration. And so that's going to be in the works in the next while, we hope. And so there's some people will see lots of continue to see lots of activity around Open Sky. And we're so grateful for the support that folks have given us, especially through COVID. The staff responded beautifully to adapting programs to the situation with COVID. But now that we can be back together, everyone's really excited about the possibilities.
That was Open Sky Director Laura Hunter in conversation with Meg Cunningham in July. You're listening to a special holiday edition of Tantramar Report on CHMA 106.9 FM in Sackville, New Brunswick. About 7 years ago, Paul Henderson left the quiet life after having co-founded both the Sappy Fest Music Festival and the Thunder and Lightning Pub in Sackville. He settled in bustling Toronto and continued to pursue his art path and work as freelance designer. Now he's due for a return. Last month, Henderson took over the helm of Strutt's Gallery and Fawcett Media Center, where he previously worked as media arts coordinator. And this month, he makes the trip back to Sackville. Meg Cunningham called him up in July at his Toronto home to catch up and hear about his plans for Sackville and Strutt's.
I understand that you have done plenty of work in Sackville before. You co-founded Sappy Fest, among other things. But you haven't been in Sackville for around 7 years. Is that right?
Yeah, I left 2014, fall of 2014, I believe.
Okay. What made you decide to come back?
Well, I mean, the position, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I think, like everyone, over the last year and a half or so, kind of reevaluating priorities and what it takes to kind of have a meaningful life in this planet. And the community of Sackville is a very rich and vibrant one. And we have a lot of friends and just the kind of pace of life was really appealing in it. And yeah, obviously everyone being so isolated through this pandemic, the sort of importance of social fabric really became prevalent. So that was a big part of it. I've also, like, since I left Sackville, like, I was really involved with a lot of collaborative stuff, you know, from Sappy and Strutt's, also Thunder and Lightning right before I left. So I was very happy when we moved to Ontario just to kind of work on my own things and not be really involved. I probably did experience some sort of burnout. But after the last 4 years when I've been really just on my own, like working in my studio, doing freelance design work and artwork, I just really, really missed it's a big part of my personality. I think I'm pretty good at it, working with people and organizing and facilitating. And so yeah, I just really, really miss that. I worked at Strats for 6 years when I like from 2004 to 10. So I kind of knew the insides of the organization, you know, how it works, but I'm also very aware of what life is like in Sackville. So there's like a certain pressure to like, you know, I really want to do it a good job. And I also just wanted to make sure I was not just sort of romanticizing the town or community really because of COVID. So, yeah, I saw the position online, and I had been thinking since the new year about getting back into the workforce, so to speak. And yeah, when we saw the job come up, it was just kind of okay. Maybe this is interesting and pretty exciting.
This is maybe early days to ask you this, but what are you hoping to bring to Struts, or what are you envisioning your time as a director might look like?
Well, I think number one, I see the job as being very much a steward. You know, it's not a curatorial position. I see it very much as sort of taking care of the health of the organization. But in terms of programming, I would say I really just, you know, want to get community and communities involved, and, you know, engage both the membership and a broader kinds of communities, getting them in the space, get people working together, making things. And then one of the most attractive things to me about the position was the fact that Struts bought the building in 2018, and it, you know, it needs a lot of work, but it's kind of an exciting project because it involves a fair amount of visioning and revisioning, and anytime you kind of undertake a major renovation, it is an opportunity to kind of reevaluate what we do and how we do it. So I find it pretty exciting, even though it's going to be a huge administrative and financial undertaking.
Totally. This kind of leads into my next question, I suppose. Things like renovations are long-term projects. They just take time. Do you plan on sticking around in that position for a longer period of time? The Struts has seen some pretty quick turnover recently, which is why I ask.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a 3-year contract for sure. This is a you know, a permanent, as permanent as anything kind of in this world, a permanent move for me. It's also one of the reasons I was attracted to it. It's because I kind of felt like the organization needed some stability after a few years of flux, and I kind of, you know, my experience in the town and with the organization previously, I just felt I'd be a really good fit. And I don't have like curatorial ambitions. I'm not sort of out here to climb a career ladder in the arts. You know, it's like it's very much the both the town and the organization that are attractive to me. It wasn't less about, you know, Atlantic Canada or landing a primo job. So, I feel committed long term as much as one can commit to anything.
What are you looking forward to the most in regards to this job or just moving back?
I would say swimming in the ocean, having a bonfire with some friends. And, you know, maybe walking out to Rockport or something like that. Those kinds of, like, just, like, reorienting myself in terms of the ocean and community is pretty exciting. It's kind of interesting. I'll be arriving on the 29th, so we're kind of get thrown right into the Sappy Press, Sappy Fest live stream extravaganza, which should be pretty interesting. But, yeah, I think just reconnecting with the community, of course, is like huge, you know. I've been working since June 8th, really. And so there's a lot of, I guess, admin stuff and just getting sort of acquainted with everything. So just, yeah, really looking forward to actually meeting staff in person and like being able to knock on some doors, you know, safe as that is these days, and get some stuff actually happening.
That was new director of Stretz Gallery and Fawcett Media Arts Center, Paul Henderson, speaking with Meg Cunningham last month. That's it for CHMA's Tantramar Report for this holiday Monday, August 2nd. Tomorrow on the show, another installment of Bruce Work's coverage of the Nova Scotia election as seen from Cumberland County. This time, Work speaks with former MP and Liberal candidate Bill Casey. That's coming up tomorrow. In the meantime, have a relaxing and restful New Brunswick day. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.